It's time for a weekly update on Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us every week at this time, and, well, this time around, his timing is pretty good.
We're continuing our conversation about House Majority Leader Eric Cantor's loss in his Virginia primary last night. He lost to Tea Party-backed and largely unknown college professor Dave Brandt.
It's the biggest news from this year's campaign trail so far. It raises questions about the role of the Tea Party, where the polls went wrong, and what this could mean for immigration reform.
And, Paul, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks. Nice to be with you.
Well, Paul, we talked to you last week, and you said nothing about Eric Cantor going down last night in the primary election. Didn't see it coming?
Yeah, I feel stupid. and I'll tell you, actually, I have some pals who live in Cantor's district who are kind of Tea Party-affiliated folks. And they were telling me back in May that Eric Cantor's going to lose, and I was laughing at them. And they said, no, you know, there was a state, a state convention, there was a district Republican convention where Eric Cantor got booed by some of the Tea Party rabble. And so my pals were like, oh, you know, Singer, this is it. You know, this is where Eric Cantor's going down. I'm like, oh, you guys are out of your mind. Cantor's going to outspend his opponent, you know, millions to hundreds, which he did. And he still lost. So, yes, today I eat crow.
Well, I can't really blame you. You and every other media outlet and pretty much everyone else in the country eating crow today. Why do you think it happened? What is your take the morning after?
You know, your previous guest, I think, was right on, is that there's a lot of chat about, well, his position on immigration maybe was offensive to some folks, or, you know, his connection to Washington. But I really think the issue is this. He did not tend to the home fires. He did not pay enough attention to his district. Eric Cantor, as a leader in the Republican Party, was traveling all over the country raising a lot of money for the party. He was a terrific fundraiser for the Republican Party. He was a national brand. He was leading this effort to sort of rebranding the Republican Party, and, you know, come up with a new agenda for the Republican Party, modernize the party's agenda. You know, a lot of stuff that kept him out of the Richmond area, and people sort of felt like they were being ignored, that he was not really part of their community anymore. He had gone Washington. And we've seen this over and over again in this election cycle, is that the way you beat a Tea Party challenge is you show up, you spend time on their front porches, you spend time in your community, you listen to them complain, and you convince them that you're really the person they want. If you ignore them or just basically don't tend to your knitting, as we say, back home, they will turn on you because they feel like you're not one of them.
And we heard with Brian Schimming just a bit ago that maybe what he's seeing here is anti-establishment going on in the GOP. You're talking about that same thing here. Does that change the narrative that we've been talking about, that it seems as though the establishment Republicans are doing okay, thank you very much, and maybe they didn't need to be so concerned about the Tea Party? Is that narrative flipped around now?
Well, you know, this gets back again to this notion of national politics and a national narrative. All politics really is local. Each one of these races is a different thing. Overall, the establishment Republicans have been able to succeed at fending off their Tea Party challenges largely by going back to the district, spending a lot of time and spending a lot of money. It's those couple that didn't, Eric Cantor being one, and in Mississippi, Thad Cochran being the other, who are losing and paying the price. But I'm not sure that this, you know, one election result, this one primary result, turns on its head the notion that the Tea Party is losing its influence. I think what it once again reiterates is that there is a strategy for incumbent Republicans to head off the Tea Party, and Eric Cantor did not use it.
Can you put this into perspective for us? Historically, how rare is what just happened last night?
Never. It has never happened. There has never been a sitting majority leader who has lost his race. Now, there have been other senior congressional members of Congress who have lost. There was a Speaker of the House once, Tom Foley, who lost to George Nethercutt. But it is really, 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 really rare. And in part because incumbency provides you with the tools to win. It provides you the opportunity to bring home the bacon with legislative projects that favor your district. Eric Cantor didn't do enough of that. It provides you the resources to fly back and forth, or in his case, drive back and forth your district regularly. Eric Cantor didn't do enough of that. And it provides you this name recognition that allows everyone to know who you are. That apparently was not enough in Cantor's case. He was running against a guy who nobody ever heard of. Oddly enough, most of the name recognition and advertising that used the name of his opponent, Dave Brat, was paid for by Eric Cantor as an attempt to discredit him.
Well, let's talk about Dave Brat for a moment here before we push on. Who is this guy? He's an economics and ethics professor. What else do we know?
Not much. That's pretty much it. He has been a professor at Randolph Macon College in Virginia for, I think, about 15 years or so. He gets fairly high marks on RateYourProfessor.com. He's a real constitutionalist kind of fellow. I mean, the reason they call him a Tea Party, he wasn't really affiliated with anybody. He wasn't affiliated with any groups. The reason they call him Tea Party, I think, is that his agenda sounds like Tea Party kind of things, like very limited government, very constitutional-based, some reference to God-given rights and a religious background. Oddly enough, he's going to be running against the Democratic nominee, who is also a professor at Randolph Macon College. So go figure. Tiny little college in Virginia has both the congressional candidates in November.
Well, the events of last night have left behind a power vacuum both in Virginia and, of course, in Washington in Congress. What are we expecting to see to fill that void in the House?
Well, you know, Cantor is at this very moment briefing the Republican leadership, and they have a press conference in about 10 minutes to announce his plans, which is to step down at the end of July. And then the question is how much of a battle there will be to replace him. There's the natural progression. There's the next leader in line in terms of ranking is a guy named Kevin McCarthy from California. He's the Republican whip is the title. He would be the natural choice to just by seniority to move up. However, you know, he carries some of the same baggage of supporting the Boehner agenda and the Cantor agenda in the House, and the conservatives may make a stink that they want someone more Tea Party friendly, more conservative, maybe like a Jeb Hensarling from Texas or Steve Scalise from Louisiana. We'll see. It is yet to be told exactly how contentious this is going to be. Remember, whoever gets this job becomes the sort of odds-on favorite to be Speaker of the House should John Boehner step down sometime in the near future. And if you had John Boehner's job, you'd be looking to quit because it's a miserable job. So it's very possible that this person becomes the next Speaker sometime soon.
And let's talk briefly about the polls here, because part of the reason this was such a big surprise is because of the polls, which were showing Cantor with a double-digit lead.
Yeah, well,
you know, and then we have the opposite happening. What do you think went wrong with the polls?
Well, the only polls that I've seen any real reference to are Eric Cantor's internal campaign polls. Nobody polls these races. I mean, when you have a guy spending this much money against another guy spending nothing, nobody bothers to poll. I mean, there's no reliable polling to count on. So then you're in this question of, and again, you know, this area, this district is heavily rural, and then a bunch of suburban Richmond. Who knows how the internals were doing their polls? My suspicion is they weren't spending a whole lot of money on it either, because it all looked fairly easy for them and fairly obvious. You don't spend a lot of time and energy polling to really get down into the weeds if you think there's not much there to look for.
And one big angle on all of this, as we've been talking about, is speculation that started within minutes of this news that immigration reform is now dead. And, of course, that this is sort of the noose that hung Eric Cantor, possibly. What's your take?
I think it's dead. I thought it was dead before. I think it's still dead now. There's a Monty Python line in there somewhere. It's nailed to the perch. You know, I think the issue here is whether or not immigration was the thing that killed Eric Cantor. Hard to tell, right? It was certainly a campaign theme of his opponent, and it was certainly something that Cantor began to worry about. He began to advertise on the theme that, hey, I blocked the immigration bill. Whether or not it really made a difference, I think it will weave its way into conventional wisdom amongst Republicans that you shouldn't get involved in immigration. It's a third rail. It's going to make it hard for you. I can't see any reason for anybody to try and pass an immigration bill in the next, you know, 6 months before the election. It's just, there's no upside for the Republicans.
And Paula, our last 10 seconds, good news or bad news for Democrats?
I think it's got to be good news for Democrats. It gives them something to celebrate. You know, one down, 200 and something to go, right? How bad can that be?
All right, Paul, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take care, Veronica.
We've been talking to Paul Singer, politics editor at USA Today. He joins us every week at this time to update us on Congress, talking about the defeat of House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in last night's primary.